I always mention to people that Hachanat Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur as well, requires to contemplation, thinking about what we're going to be saying Rosh Hashanah, having also an orientation in the mouthful. Some of it is maybe more familiar, some less familiar. So I'd like to go through some basic aspects of the mouthful of Rosh Hashanah, not a comprehensive overview, but at least something that will give us a frame of reference. Okay, so just an interesting beginning. Many machzorim, you'll see, the night of Rosh Hashanah, there's a piyut that the print, it was written several hundred years ago by a name is Rabbi Avram Chazan. It's a nice piyut beginning with the word Achos Ketana. Why do I mention this? Because the piyut has a refrain at the end of every line. And the refrain for every line until the last line is Tichle Shana Bekilloseha. Let the year end with its curses, and each line has that ending. And then you get to the last line, and then the last one changes it to Tachel Shana Uberchoseha. Let the next year begin. Tichle with a chaf is to end, Tachel with a ches is to begin, and its blessings. What's the marker of these expressions? So the first expression, Tichle Shana Bekilloseha, is a Gemara and Megillah. The Gemara talks about why we read the Tochacha of the Chukosai before Shavuos and the Tochacha of Kisavo before Rosh Hashanah. And it says the Gemara, because Tichle Shana Bekilloseha. So we know Rosh Hashanah is a new year, so right before the new year starts, we read the Tochacha of Kisavo, and the Gemara explains that Atzeres, which is Shavuos, is also a Rosh Hashanah Leilanos, so we also read the Tochacha of the Chukosai before Shavuos, Takanas Ezra. The innovation of the Paitan of Avram Chazan was to invent another phrase, which is not in the Gemara. The Mokka for this is not in the Gemara at all, and that's Tochel Shana Bechoseha, that the new year should begin. We talked about the old year leaving whatever the Saras and Kolos of the past year. Now we look forward in an optimistic tone, Tochel Shana Bechoseha. But it goes even deeper than that, because these two words, Tichle and Tochel, have their roots in a pasuk in Chumash. Parshas Miketz. Does anyone know what I'm referring to? Parshas Miketz. So the Torah has two psukim in succession. One begins with the shoresh of the tichle. One begins with the shoresh of the word tochel, the ending and the beginning. But it's interesting in context when you think about it. We had Yosef HaTzadik gave an interpretation of Paro's dream, with the cows and the storks. And he says there's going to be 7 years of plenty, of Sava, followed by 7 years of Rav. And Kachavi, as we know, that was what happened. So the Torah describes, and we know Yosef became now the Mishnah HaMelech, so at Revi, in Miketz, the Pasuk states, Batichlena Sheva Shnei HaSava Asher Hayah Beretz Mitzrayim. The 7 years of plenty ended. That's Batichlena. The next Pasuk, Batichlena Sheva Shnei HaRav Lavo Kasha Amar Yosef. That pasuk is going on the beginning of the next 7 years of Rav. So here you have two psukim back to back. One is Vatichlena, that's the Tichle, the period of before, and then Vatichlena, which is the beginning of the next cycle. But it's quite interesting because in this context, the years that were before the Vatichlena were the good years, the years of plenty. And the tochel, the tochilena, is the years of famine. So I don't know, it could be poetic license is still what it is. And so we say that, but it could be, I saw in one of the Sfarim I happened to notice recently, an interesting perspective that the Chizkuni quotes, maybe from a medrash, that the Lashon Batichlena, the 7 years of plenty, ended. It says it's Melashon like Kilas Yofi, like a sense of a beauty, of a mosaic, of finishing. Everything is included, incorporated. Everything is perfectly fit in, like a sense of a perfection, a puzzle. Everything fits in together, a sense of wholeness. That's Vatichlena. That was the years of plenty. Then Vatichlena, he says, is Melashon Choli, like a sickness, like a machla. And that's the years of famine. So based on that Chizkuni, I saw, I forget the name of the Sefer, he says, maybe the Alderach Adrush, he says, maybe what the Kavanah of the Piyut was as follows, that doesn't just mean that the year with its suffering and curses should end. It means that those sorrows of the past year should somehow be reimagined and suddenly should take on a positive spin. They should become kulas yofi, they should become part of a larger plan, that it's not just that it's ending, but that actually becomes incorporated into something better. That's what tichre shana v'kelosah, the year and its kolos now become part of a larger mosaic. And then tachre shana v'kelosah means that even though things in the coming year that you would consider to be less than desirable, like an illness, a tachre shana machala, should actually be part of a bracha. So both halves of the piyut are really talking about changing what would be negative into positive. The tichre shana v'kelosah, the kolos become positive, and even what would be considered a machla should be really, as part of the new year, should take on a positive spin. Very nice thought. Okay, now I'd like to talk to you about the piyutim and then the tefillos themselves of Rosh Hashanah. So let's begin with the Chazaras Hashatz. We'll start with Shachris, and we'll talk about Shachris and Musaf together. The Chazaras Hashatz, of course, is not a simple Chazaras Hashatz because we incorporate a lot more in what the Chazan says than simply the repetition of the Shmoneh Esrei. So the first thing is to notice something which we would call Netilas Rishus. This is a phenomenon that is common to Piyut. So Piyut really means that there is the Seder Kavua of the Nusach HaTfila that we all know. We say Shmoneh Esrei every day, Matbea of the Brachas. Piyut is like an innovation that is more like additions that are like that the composer liked to improvise. So once upon a time, a person, the Yashiach Tzibur, they would improvise on their own as the spirit would move them. So it doesn't mean that they would change the Nusach Kavua, but they would add to it. They would expand it, and it would be like a Kiyum of Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, that we saw in the Mishnah Brachas. Yehuda says to talk about a pirut or a bracha, and the Gemara says that you're supposed to mention every day me'ein that day, yalav yavo. So a pirut would be, if you're davening on Sukkot, it's a different davening, in Cheshvan. So then the bracha itself, the Chazan would be saying, would also acknowledge something connected to the yom. So pirut was a genre that really began way, way back. You have early Paitanin, some say even the time of the Tanoim, some even attribute Rav Elazar Kalir to be a Tana. Most say he was a little bit after that, but certainly the time of 6th century, 7th century, 8th century, you have major Paitanim, Yanai, Rav Elazar Kalir. Wherever he lived, the Byzantine period, most people would say, and then you have, of course, all the way through the Rishonim and beyond. So a lot of the piyut on the first day of Rosh Hashanah is Rav Elazar Kalir. He is famous for so many parts of our davening that we could call piyut. Tfilas Geshen, Tfilas Tal, Hoshanas, many of the kinnis are his. And he transformed davening. It makes it hard because the words are hard. When we say Slichas every day, so Slichas is really a structured tefillah, the equivalent of a regular tefillah with a Kaddish Tiskabel at the end. The Lubush and Tafkut Pei Aleph explains this. You have an Ashri in the beginning, a Tachnun, and a Kaddish Shalem with a Leinu. Not a Leinu, but a Kaddish Shalem. But the idea is that the main part of Slichas is the Yud Gimel Midos and Psukim that we say. The Piyut became now expanding the Slichas. So every time we go before Kel Melech, we have a Piyut. These are the Rishonim. The original Slichas is just Psukim, Yud Gimel Midos, Psukim, that we say before Kirachim of Abanim, Yudgim Amidos, Psukim, Yudgim Amidos. Psukim of Trina, Psukim of Shevach. Shevach is in the beginning, then you have the Trina, then you have Aneinus at the end, also was originally part of Slichas, because these are old Tfilos, Aneinu. They used to say this on Tanesim. Then, just like Piyut embedded itself within regular Tfilah, and we don't see it as much, because we don't say Piyut necessarily on Shabbos Chanukah. Those who do, but those are only those kihilos that keep those in the service of Piyut, Shabbos Chanukah, Yotzros, Vayantif. But what we do have it, and everybody that is Rosh Hashanah and Kippur and Shul, is going to say these piyutim that we have in our davening. So we have these compositions in Slichas also a piyutim. Now, when a chazan is now recognizing that he's going to interrupt the regular flow of the Shmoneh Esrei to expand with these ideas of piyut, he doesn't just do it casually. He has to ask Rishus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to say all these things, these new ideas, these new things, so I'm asking you permission that you be with me and allow me to do a good job. And that's what Misot Chacham Nevoinim. We start right after Man Shmo B'Yahava, now starts petitions before Melech Ozer. So Misot Chacham Nevoinim, Emdas Nevinim, after Chapi, B'Tfilu B'Sachanunim, L'Chalos, L'Chane, in other words, I'm asking Kadosh Baruch Hu, Rishus. So you have here, Yorei Si B'Tzosi Siach HaShchil. This is all showing a sense of humility. Again, it's all written in a certain style, but basically all these phrases are meant to say, give me strength, because I'm terrified, because I'm asadin, and I'm starting now, and then you have piyutim. Now, some people just go to Be'es HaSchil, and they skip to Melech Ozer, with Zachrin Ulchayim, Melech Ozer. If you look more at the fine print of the Machsa, you'll see, not everyone says every little part, but then there's a piyut really that comes after that. And then Zachrin Ulchayim after that. Okay. So this is called a Rishus, Netilas Rishus. Now, Netilas Rishus is not just here in the beginning, in the Bracha of Melech Ozer and Bracha of Magen Avram. You have it again before Kedusha. What happens after Brachta Shem Achai HaMesin? So we're now going to have a period called Ato Elkeinu B'Shamayim Ba'aretz, which is going to go through the Alabeis, praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But everyone says here, what is that? What is all this? What are those two sentences trying to convey? Why are we doing it over there? So Yimloch, of course, is a pasuk at the end of the Halukah, the first Halukah, we say it every day. And it's also the end of Kedusha. The Ata Kadosh Eshitu Yisrael is a pasuk in its entirety, in Tehillim Chav Beis. And that is, we say before we say Kedusha, the Sidra, like Kol Tzion, right? Ata Kadosh Yisrael, and Nebuchadnezzar in the Alma. Kel Na, that comes from the tefillah that Moshe Rabbeinu said for Miriam. Kel Na Refan Allah. What is this doing here? So they bring, I've been babbling many years with a Marsa called Marsa in the Forest. They bring a lot of these things that I'm telling you now. I know from this Marsa that I saw many years ago. They bring from others before them. You know, he's Malakid. But the Pshat is as follows. At least for Ata Kadosh. I'm not sure about Yimloch. Exactly why it says Yimloch now. But the idea is this. That we're going to say Kedusha soon. Normally at this point, we're ready for Kedusha. But we're not saying Kedusha yet. We're going on with Shabachim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with this piyut. And then we're going to say things Kadosh, Kadosh, all these Kedushas, which are sentences. Again, you have all these sentences in between one and the other that often we skip. These are all piyutim. Now we have Adirei Ayuma, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech. We're not getting to Kedusha so fast. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for us to say Kedusha. Kishem Shemakdishna B'Shmei Marom, we have Kar Yisrael down here, a koach, to create HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we're telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Chazan is saying, wait, Atok Kadosh, Yoshev Tiyo Yisrael. It means Hashem, whose Kadosh is waiting for Kar Yisrael's praises. So even though we're not saying Kedusha yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wait a minute, hold off. You know, we'll get there. We'll get to Kedusha. It's a Tilas Rishus, because we're being mafsik. What would normally be Kedusha now, we're doing other things. So it's another application of Tilas Rishus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wait for us. Wait, we'll get to the Kedusha. We do the Pasuk of Yimloch, which is the end of Kedusha. And then we say, you're waiting for Tilas Yisrael. Meanwhile, we're praising you with other things, and then we'll get to the Kedusha. So it's like, also like Tilas Rishus. What's another example of Tilas Rishus, which is quite obvious? The Chazan of Musa, before he starts the Kaddish, what does he say? Right, what is all that? I'm nothing, I'm not worthy, please make sure what I say would be accepted. It's in Tilas Rishus. And it happens again in the Chazaras HaShatz. Before he gets to, he has a paragraph, Hayei and Pefios. So before he starts Baruch Yisrael and Shofros. Hayei and Pefios, Am Chabes Yisrael, be with those who are the representatives of the Kahal to plead the case before you. It's again Nitzilas Rishus. And then you have another Nitzilas Rishus, Ochilo Lokel Achalafanav. Even though this became a big song that everybody sings together, that was not the intention. The intention was, it was the Chazan's own words. Ochilo Lokel Achalafanav. What is it afterwards? What? Right? And then you have psukim that say the same idea. Hashem Tzvasai Tiftach. In other words, what is the chazan doing? He's about to engage in the chazaras hashatz part, the part of the chazaras malchus and shofaros, the main three brachas. So there's another nitilas b'shus. He doesn't go right into the next chelik. He's recognizing, okay, now I'm about to represent the tzibur to the tefillah, the brachas of malchus and shofaros. I have to once again get oriented. So it's what the chazan is doing. Is again a nitilas b'shus. Okay, let's make a list of the main piyutim, just to kind of look at shachris musaf. We're not going to be able to talk about each one in depth, but just acknowledging what they are. So again, when you get there, you remember. So the first piyut in shachris, right after Yimloch Habata Kadosh Kelna, you have Ato Kena Bashemayim Va'aretz Gibor V'Naretz. We go through an olive base. It's all Hakadosh Baruch Hu's shvachim, and it's all based on psukim, right? Mateo Kina, Nepa Nikama, Sislo Yosher, so almost all based on psukim. And they tell you here, I have another maxa that I use a lot, it's Rabbi Lapyansky put out a maxa, it's a really new edition here, that has a very nice Perushim on the bottom. And they give you the Makoros, I don't know if the art school does it, probably also, but not really, harder to see it maybe there. But these are all psukim, Yosher Besesa, Yosher Besesa Melion, that's the Aleph and Tehillim, and so on. So each one has it's patterned after psukim. So this is all shvachos shel makom, right? And it's aleph beis, tol eretz al belima. The next famous piyut would be the Hashem Melech, that we have three stanzas, each one of each stitch is like three stanzas. Each one is Hashem Melech. We end the first stanza, Dira Yuma, that's the aleph. Ruy Varak ends with Hashem Melech, that's beis, Givorach. What's going on here? These descriptions are either descriptions of the malachim and how they sing to Hashem, or descriptions of Klal Yisrael. Now, the poetic license is to use certain fancy words to describe either the malachim or Klal Yisrael, and it's following an aleph base. So, again, you have to know your what you're looking at when you read each line. If it's Klal Yisrael or the malachim, Giborig, right? Dorei Dolkim are the malachim. They're the Esh, they're fire. And then again, it's all playing off of that letter. And Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Shem Lomach, we know from our davening, Yichavot. Hashem Melech, there's psukim that begin with those words. It's a pasuk, Hashem Melech, on bread, you know, Kabbalah Shabbos. Hashem Melech is also there. And then Hashem Yimloch is a pasuk, and of course, in Shiras Hayam. So this became its own mantra that has a lot of sodas to it, that we say it, you know, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, you know, it's present, past, future. And they use those as the refrain for each line, going through again, Aleph to Tav. Okay, that's Hashem Melech. The next piyut that comes after that is Lekel Orech Din, alternate between, right, B'yom Din, Vadin, and aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what he does for us on a Yom Din. Now, people get very nervous with Lekel Orech Din, especially the haunting melody for it. The emesis, if you don't look at it carefully, you'll see that it's actually more of an optimistic type of a piyut. To say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rachmanis, and he mitigates the din. You see it the more you look at it. Notice, kovish kaso badin, he's not getting angry. Lovish tzedakos biyom din. Lomochel avonos badin. This is not scary, this is happy. I mean, happy, but it's recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately is there for us. L'soleach la'amusav, l'ona l'korav, l'fol rachamav, l'rachim amo, l'shomer o'avav, once you know that, you realize that even the earlier lines must be also something more positive. So you think, sounds like it's scary. Hashem knows, you know, the secrets of our heart. But the opposite. If a Yid wants to do the Ratzon Hashem, a Jew really wants to do the right thing, then Hashem knows that too. So when we say Vochim Levavos, we say Ledea Machshavos, it's actually saying that Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that the heart is in the right place. So just like Letayach Chosav and Chobish Kaso, Suleach HaMusav, L'Rachim Amo are positive, I think you have to see every single line like that. Not as the opposite, that, oh, you know, he's going to get me. The contrary, Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that we want to do the right thing. And I think that explains also, this is more for Yom Kippur. I always touched it this way in Yom Kippur. We say, Olam, you know the secrets of the world, and nothing is hidden from you. That you should forgive us. What's the connection? You say you know everything, and therefore I have no hope, right? No, to the contrary, I do have hope. Because you know everything. Therefore you know my panimius. You know my shorish aneshama. Therefore you can forgive us. I think that's the answer here as well. You know, come simchas Torah with akafis. So the chasim says different things. Aneshama shiana. He says, yodeya machshava. He says, shiana. Yodei machshavas means that a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows all our evil instincts. Yodei machshavas hashiana. You know how bad we are, therefore hashiana. Yodei machshavas hashiana, because you know that we're good inside. Dove mesharim hashiana. Yodei machshavas hashiana. I think that's Pasha Pshat here in the Kelo Rechdin. Then you have a melech, then you have Kedusha, right? And then, then you have Kedusha, and then that's Shachris, right? Okay, then you have the Malkeinu. Let's go to the Piyutim of Musaf. So one of the famous Piyutim of Musaf, Melech Elyon. This is on the first day, Melech Elyon is in Musaf. The second day, Melech Elyon is in Shachris. Now, what is this all about? So Melech Elyon, Kadosh Baruch Hu is the king of all kings. He's the melech on top of everything. L'dayad yimloch, right? He'll live forever. He'll reign forever. Now what happens? We finish the shin, and then we have two stanzas that say melech evyon. Bola bat shachas, it's numa te'ufenu. We're contrasting Hashem is mighty. Every stanza talks about Kadosh Baruch Hu is so much that he does. His ultimate power, tuva la'ad, kasama l'tor. Again, each one of these phrases are psukim, right? Gibor lahakim, goes to make him. Then you have two stanzas of Melech Evyon, and then Avo Melech Elyon, and then we have the Tav. Now, notice something interesting. How does this follow the Aleph base? The first stanza is Aleph. Kel dar bamorom adibam. Every phrase starts with an Aleph. Ometz yad l'torah. What happens in the next stanza? Gibor lahakim, goes to make him. What is it? What letter we have here? Gimel. Next stanza, Hamadabe Bitzdaka. Hey. Next one's up. We're skipping. What happened to Beis? What happened to Dalit? What happened to Vav? What happened to Ches? It's going Aleph, Gimel, Hey, Zion, Tes. Right? So, again, this is all from the Mazar that I've been learning over the years. It's a fascinating thing. Because, you see, originally, Rav Elazar Kalir composed this piece. The way he did it was, he had alternating stanzas. One stanza was Melech Elyon, that was the Aleph. Then he had a base of Melech Evyon. Then he went to the Gimel, which is Melech Elyon. Then he had a Dalet for Melech Evyon. And so on and so forth. You can imagine, probably over the generations, it was probably a danger to keep going Melech Evyon constantly, because it's like you're knocking whoever the monarch was at the time. Probably because of the sensitivities, whether it was self-imposed, it was imposed on them, they had to take the Melech Evyon out. But what did they do? They left the first and the last one. So what we do before we reopen the Aron Kodesh, we insert, we close the Aron Kodesh after Shena and Lefana, the Shin, before we get to the Tuf, which is the last stanza, Tukfa La'ad, we insert Beis and Tuf, the first and the last of the Melech Evyons. Melech Bolavrat Shachas, that's the base, Bisho Besachas, Beris Linachas. And then we take the Tuf. Tnuma Teufenu, Tadema Teufenu, Tau Yishufenu. So we yitzah the Melech Elyon by the base and the Tuf, that we sneak in at the end, and then we go out of Melech Elyon and we conclude. I never realized until I saw it. It's fascinating. And not only that, we actually have the original version. If you had this particular Magzer, it's an excellent Magzer, Malsam Meforash, in the very back, they give you the original Nesach with all the original stanzas of Melech Evyon throughout, not just the base and the top, but everything, the Dalit. Dover kadover, dover va'over, domer le'iver. Admasa yimloch, Melech Evyon. Vav, dechafet beresha, va'oser resha, umuchan lefesha. Admasa yimloch. Ches, choshe v'shocheach. Chash umishtakeach. Chav umishtakeach. Admasa yimloch. But that was the original. Something else interesting is that on day two, We also say Melech Elyon. But that Melech Elyon has a different rhythm to it. Here, there are three phrases, and then Ladei Adim Loch. Kel take Aleph. Kel Dal Bamorim, Adi Bamorim, Omet Yadu Torah. Three stanzas, Ladei Adim Loch. If you go to Shachris of Yom Sheni, it's longer. The Melech Elyon here, take Aleph here, you see. Amet Taminuse, L'chorosh Misnase, that's two already. Omer Ve'ose, Ma'ozo Machse, Nisa Ve'nose, Moshe Melachim Akise, Ladei Adim Loch. It's longer, right? Gibor Biguros, Koriadoros, Golem Nistoros, Imosef Toros, Yedias Foros, Lutosos Bazaros. It's not the same Machaber. Vlada Kalir only composed for Yom Krishan of Rosh Hashanah. The second year of Rosh Hashanah, you'll see his name come out all over in the Piyutim, and that's Shimon HaGadol. Shimon HaGadol preceded Rashi, before Rashi, the famous Paitan we have in the Slichas also. You'll find him sooner at some point in Rosh Hashanah Slichas, I think you have him. So he did it, he was patterning himself after Melech Elyon, Melech Evyon, and he had his own Melech Evyon. Also, it also skips letters, right? Aleph, Gimel. But you see, his Melech Evyon had to be consistent with his Melech Elyon, which means there are many more phrases for each stanza. Here, when we tuck away the two Melech Evyons, we didn't do his. We took the Velezar Kalir from day one, and we put that into the Melech Elyon. That's where you notice the difference. When you get to between the Shin and the very next to last stanza of Melech Elyon on day two in Shacharis, so we have Melech Evyon Bolivar Shachas, which is the meter of the first day's Melech Elyon. If you want to know what he wrote for the base and the top, you have to go to this Machzer and look at the back and see what his Melech Evyon was, because he had every single one as well. So we're Mekayim, you know, so to speak, give the Melech Evyon acknowledgement, but we didn't use the original, what was in his original. This is not known by most people. I just figured it's kedai to have a yediyah. Okay. So we have a Melech Elyon, of course, is a very important piyut highlighting the Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When the son of Tokef, just, if we all know the beauty of it and the legend that's associated with it, Amnon, you can read about it, you probably know, have heard it before. The truth is, some of the Nusach was found already before him, so it could be, even to the extent that the story reflects, you know, an accurate reality, it's hard to know exactly the details, you know, exactly. That's why the Rishonim will bring down the story, but it could be he was basing himself, Amnon basing himself off of an existing Nusach that already was there. But it obviously talks about the Yom HaDin and the solemn quality of it. And Mamish brings to, you know, a person's a good Baal Tefillah, he can bring the Olam to tears with the Sanat Token, because it really is Miyachyem, Miyamos, Mivakitso. Obviously, it's very, very poignant. Just Taich word, Unisane, people don't always realize, Taich itself. What does Unisane mean? It doesn't mean give. Unisane is the meaning of that is to be mesaper. Veshinantam levanecha, which is sunny nun, to be mesaper. Unisane, we will relate. We will tell over Tokef Bishas Hayom. That's the simple Pirish Hamila of Unisane. Okay, then we have also on the second day, the first day, V'chol Maminim. This is said before the ending of the bracha of Atta Kadosh, after Kiddusha, right? Musaf, we already finished Kiddusha, because when the Son of Tokev leads to Kiddusha, right? V'chol Chosal Kiddusha, right after the Son of Tokev. Then we have Chamoah Masach, these are Piyutim, V'chol Nizkada Shimcha Hashem, V'chol Nizkolano, V'chol Nizkolano, V'chol Nizkolano, V'chol Maminim. Everybody acknowledges Hashem, and we go through again the Aleph base, right? Kelamuna is the Aleph, Bochin Kloyos, Goel Chazak. This is supposed to be very important, has a lot of depth to this piyut. The Chomam, everyone accepts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is this, that, going through the Aleph base until you get to Tamim Palo. Okay, another nice piyut to be familiar with. This is said only by the Chazin. This is still within the Bracha of Kedushas Hashem. We haven't yet said Melech HaKadosh yet. This is V'chein Tein Pachtecha. We say after V'chol Mamin V'chein Tein Pachtecha, V'chein Tein Kavod, V'chein Tzadikim, and then before the last paragraph of Kadosh Atav Noresh Melech, we have this beautiful piyut V'yasayu chol avdecha. Usually a nice migunim I put to it. The culmination of this is v'yitnu lecha kesa melucha. Now the structure of this is aleph beis. Every phrase, every new phrase, the main word of that phrase is another letter in aleph beis. The aleph is v'yasayu. They will come. Asa in Aramaic is to come. For us, even in Chumash. For us, in Rivos Kodesh. They will all come le'avdecha. V'yivarachu, shem kevadecha. That's the beis. V'yagidu is the gimel. V'yim, in the island, sitkechi. Psukim, v'yubis, and psukim. V'yidrishucha amim, v'yidaucha. And they go on. Dalit, hey, vav. V'yachperu, in besileim. V'yati, that's the test. V'yakiru koch machusach, is the kaf. And then, of course, we get v'yitnu chakesem melucha. And this is the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being accepted by all of humanity, which is one of the main themes of Rosh Hashanah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is melech al kol ha'olam, kol ha'aretz. And this is just expressed in this beautifully poetic way. And that's the V'yasayu. That's the V'yasayu that I have over here. Something I want to mention about the way Piyutim are said, which has always been a little bit disorienting. Because if you look carefully, you realize that as originally composed, like let's say Melech Elyon. Melech Elyon is supposed to be the beginning of the paragraph, of the stanza. Melech Elyon, and then to end, Ladei Ad Yimloch. Then Melech Elyon is supposed to start the next paragraph, until Ladei Ad Yimloch. Like we do, before we do Melech Elyon, we do Ladei Ad Yimloch, right? Ladei Ad Yimloch. Melech Elyon is always the beginning, but what happens when we say it? Ladei Ad Yimloch, Melech Elyon. We're already chapping around the beginning of the next line. And so it is with so many of the people. Ato okay, b'shmayim ba'aretz, kibah v'naretz. B'shmayim ba'aretz, kibah v'naretz, dogo merevava. No, dogo uzach v'yei. What are we doing? We're running ahead. B'chol ma'minim as well. So we end up leaving like a, what they call an orphaned line at the end, because you're off, you're not matching the way it was originally constructed. Ochech b'yad midas mishpat, b'chol ma'minim shu kel emunah. That's exactly how it's supposed to go. Habochin uvode ginze nistaros v'chol ma'minim shu bochin koyev. What do we do when we say it? We put chomish shu kel emunah habochin ginze nistaros v'chol ma'minim shu bochin koyev hagol mimavis. No, I mean really hagol mimavis v'chol ma'minim. But obviously minhag Yisrael is kadosh v'tor. So what's going on here? Why are we being these piyutim in such a way that sort of doesn't really match the way the standards were meant to be set? So this is something that Rabbi Yosheber, the Rav, and you heard a lot this morning about the Rav. I don't know if this came up. I'm sure if Shechter mentions this in his Svarim. The Rav explained that when we say Piyutim on Yom Noraim, Chazen and a Kahal, this is called Dabesh Abikdusha. Shvacho Shemakom, said B'tzibur, is called Dabesh Abikdusha, Dabesh Abikdusha has a way in which it's supposed to be said, and that is, like it says by the Malachim, the Karavel Zeva Amar, that one prompts the other, like we have in Kedusha, right? L'masam Baruch Yameiru, Baruch V'shem B'mkomo. There's always one prompting the other. What we say is meant to prompt a chazan to say his line, and the chazan says something, he's prompting us. That's part of the nature of Dabesh Abikdusha. So therefore, it came about that because the nature of where we say is supposed to be always like we're trying to get the next person to say his line, so therefore we hop around the next line, we say something, and then we right away say the next line as if, okay, your turn. And then he says it, and then he says that, and then it's basically a way of reflecting the notion called Dabesh Abikdusha. That was how the Rav explained it. One more thing about a certain word that comes up every time we introduce a new piyut, and that's uvechein. Right, take a look. Uvechein by Hebrew Melech, Melech Elyon. Uvechein before Keo Arach Din. Uvechein lecha hakol yachtiru. Right. Why are we always saying Uvechein lecha sal kedusha? Why do we keep introducing the next thing with Uvechein? So the answer is quite obvious because we have other paragraphs in our built into our davening of Uvechein. Why don't we add those three paragraphs in the bracha of Melech Kadosh? Uvechein tein pachdecha. So here too, even within piyut, when we have a new poem, uvechein lecha kol yachtiru. So what's the depth of that idea? So the Rishonim say, the Tur quotes this in Tafkut Pei Beis, b'shem Avod Ram, I think, uvechein is a remez to a pasuk in Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther tells us that Esther is urged by Mordechai to go into Achashverosh's palace. And she says, okay, we're fasting for 3 days. And then she says, Ubechein Avo El HaMelech. So you see that the word of a king has associations with coming to see the king. Says the Torah, says Yavidran. So we are using the word of Ubechein constantly over and over here, because that's the sense that we have right now. We are nechdas to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, King HaMelech. And some of the Achronim say, take a step deeper. What does it say further in the Pasuk in Megillas Esther? Ubechein Avo El HaMelech. And those are the words that follow. Megillas Esther. I know we're in Elul now, but what does it say? Asher lo chados. Which means I'm not really on the right to do it. Which is a way of alluding to the fact that even as we say Ubechein, we're nervous. Like, are we really worthy of this? So there's a little bit of that also. That's why we have Ubechein, Ubechein. Okay. I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, the text of the Tfilas, the Brachas, of Shmoneh Esrei of Musaf. A word or two about the Musaf itself. We have Karbanos Hayom, like every Musaf. So the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, the Torah tells us in Parshas Pinchas, right? We read it in the second book of Torah. L'chodesh Hashvi, it's Echad L'chodesh, right? So it says that you bring, but it doesn't say V'ikravtem. All the other times by the Musaf, the Lashon HaPasuk is V'ikravtem. What does the Lashon Torah use regarding Rosh Hashanah? Something Ola, not you will offer an Ola, you will. It's different than the other times. Ba'asisem Ola. B'Pesach, v'kravtem isha Ola Hashem. B'Shavuos, v'kravtem Ola. By Sukkos, even by Yom Kippur, v'kravtem Ola Hashem. By Sukkos, v'kravtem Ola. Here it says, v'asisem Ola. So there's a chazal, that, a very famous chazal, that Hashem says on Rosh Hashanah, you remake yourself. The sense of Rosh Hashanah is to come into it fresh, leaving behind what was behind, focusing on the future. And I think it's an important idea about Rosh Hashanah that we shouldn't think too much about chet in the background, but to say, we're just, right now we're focusing on this. Rabbeinu Yonah, and you saw that tshuva, he says, a person who wants to start on the path of tshuva, just right now, just don't get sunk in the mud of your averus. Just try now to refocus for the future. This is Rosh Hashanah. Assessing tshuva, after Rosh Hashanah, you get more into the details of a person's personal cheshbon ha-nefesh, also the end of the Elul. You can still do it now. But Rosh Hashanah is a time to just say, what's behind me is behind me. This is the notion of asisim ol. Hashem considers like you're your own, your ki'ilu, you're remaking yourself. What is the carbon itself that we bring? So it's par, one par, one ayel, seven kvasim, and then sir izin echad chata. So every musaf except for Shabbos has a sir izin. So we have that, and we have one par, not like that other times it's two par, one par, one ayel, seven kvasim. But besides being Rosh Hashanah, Aleph Tishrei is also what day? Rosh Chodesh. Now Rosh Chodesh has its own karbanos. So what does the Torah say about Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh, this we hear all the time, every month. So it says you bring two parin, one ayel, seven kvasim, all of those are olos. And then we have also usirizim echad l'chatas Hashem, also usirizim. So really on Yom Kippur, I mean Rosh Hashanah, we're bringing not just the musafin of Rosh Hashanah, but the musafin also of Rosh Chodesh. So that's why it's one in the Sittin Machzor and the Shulchan Aruch to say that we don't explicitly mention it. We quote the Pesukim Rosh Hashanah, not Rosh Chodesh. We allude to it. We say, Es Musfei Yom HaZikaron HaZeh. This year is Shabbos, so it's also going to be more than just Rosh Hashanah is Musaf, it's also Shabbos. That we will quote. It's interesting, but we don't quote the Pesukim Rosh Chodesh, we just allude to it. The Torah mentions, after mentioning the Sir Izim of Rosh Hashanah, it says, Milvad Olas HaChodesh U'minchasa, Olas HaTamid Milchasa, aside for the Olos of Rosh Chodesh, meaning the two Parim, the one island, the seven Kfasim. The Torah doesn't say, aside for the other Saya. How many Seirim for Chatas were brought on Rosh Hashanah? Sir Izim of Rosh Chodesh and of Rosh Hashanah. So it says Tosis in Rosh Hashanah Dav Ches, it says Achidush, that the Torah, the Gemara Dash is Bakesel Yom Chageinu, what Chag is the Yireach Miskasa. What Ezech Chag Shachodesh Miskasa Bo Rosh Hashanah. Various Pirushim, what that means. So Rabbeinu Meshulam in Tosfos says that it means that there was no Sayyid Rosh Chodesh born on Rosh Hashanah. Only one Sayyid. It's Midayik the Pasuk, because it says, Milvad, the last Pasuk of the Musaf Rosh Hashanah, Milvad Olas HaChodesh U'Minchasa. What else should it have said? Milvad, the Sayyid of Rosh Chodesh. Like, for example, on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, there was the Chatas brought for Musaf, and there's also a Chatas was brought as part of Odas Hayom, that's Nachrimos. It says, Milvad Chatas HaKippurim. But it should have said it, Milvad Chatas of Rosh Chodesh. It says, Rabbeinu Meshulam, there was only one Sayyid. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. He says, no, of course, there was two Seirim, and that's why our Nusach says, Shni Seirim Lechater, because we had both, but we don't mention it explicitly. And that's the Kesel Yom Chagenu, because we don't even mention the Karbanos so much explicitly of Rosh Chodesh either. So that's the Gemara in Erev and Daf Mem, that the Gemara says one Zikaron counts for both. The Zikaron of Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah is incorporating the Zikaron of Rosh Chodesh, so you don't need to be Maskir Rosh Chodesh separately. So the Rav teaches it as follows. What does that mean? What does it mean that Zikaron Echad Olukan Olukan? Says, because typically when you have, let's say, Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos. So you have a Kedusha of Yom Tov, a Kedusha of Shabbos. It didn't have to fall out on Shabbos. It coincided. So now you have distinct Kedushos, and maybe in some way they merge on some level, but they're still distinct Kedushas. Because they're still Kedushas Shabbos and a Kedushas Yom Tov. Masha'enkin, so since Rosh Hashanah is always Rosh Chodesh, so the Kedushas Rosh Chodesh is mamish contained within Rosh Hashanah. It couldn't be any other way. So the Kedushas Rosh Chodesh is Kedushas Rosh Hashanah is Kedushas Rosh Chodesh. It already has it in it. Therefore, you don't mention the separate Kabbalah of Rosh Chodesh because it's already nichlau. That's nichlau echad ol lekan lekan. And that explains an interesting phenomenon. Day two of Rosh Hashanah is Beis Tishrei. Right? It's not like when you have Rosh Chodesh, when you have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, you have Lamed of the previous month and then Aleph of the next month. Shoshana is 2 days, Aleph and Beis. Elul is Chavtet, 29 days. We never have 30 days in Elul. You have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So what happens on the second day of Rosh Hashanah? Do you say Es Musaf Yom HaZikaron Hazeh, or do you say Musfeh? What do you say? What do you remember? What? Musfeh. So the Shulchan Aruch mentions it. It's a Hoshayla. There are those Rishonim who thought you should say only Musaf. So we hold the Shulchan Aruch Musfeh on the second day. What's the Pshat? There's no Rosh Chodesh Musaf on day two of Rosh Hashanah. It's Beis Tishrei. But the Rav explained, because if the Kedushas Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaZikaron is Kolel already Rosh Chodesh, so in that regard, you could still say Musfeh. Okay. I wanted to get a little bit into the Brachas. Malchus HaKohanim and Shofros. I see we're running late in time. So I just give you a little bit, and maybe if you want tomorrow, we could be mamshech on this, just on this, a few ha'aris on the brachas. Just as follows. Typically, a Shemona Esrei has, on a Shabbos and a Yantif, 7 brachas. So it is in Rosh Hashanah, an Arvis, Shachris, Mincha. 7 brachas. How 7? 3 in the beginning, the regular 3, right? Avos, Kavuos, and Kedushas HaShem. 3 at the end, Avodah, let's say, Modin and Shalom, Shem Shalom. The middle bracha is called Kedushas Hayom. Mekadesh HaShabbos, Mekadesh Yisrael Vazman, Mekadesh Yisrael Yom HaZikaron. What happens in Musaf is that we have 9 brachas. Why? Because we have 3, the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei has 3 long brachas. After Atah Kadosh, HaMelech HaKadosh, we have a long bracha, we call that Malchios. Then we have another one bracha called Zichronos, another one bracha called Shofros. Now, really, if you have 3 major themes of Malchus and Shofros, and you want to add that to an existing pattern of Shemoneh Esrei, then you should have 7 plus 3. So that makes 10. So how is it that we have 9? So the Mishnah talks about this. Clearly, there are only going to be 9 brachas. And that's because, as the Rebbe explained, because the Gemara has mentions in Megillah, how come there's a certain number of brachas in Shemoneh Esrei, let's say, on the weekday, why on Shabbos is it 7, connected all kinds of remazim. So there are 9 brachas, Vashana connected the askaros in Chanas Tefillah, 9 times Hashem's name. That's our Kabbalah, there has to be 9 brachas. So therefore you can have the bracha of Kedushas Hayom, which would normally be the middle bracha, you can say, now I'm going to have three new brachas. I have to merge one of these three new concepts, these themes, within an existing bracha. So there's different ways that it can be done. So the way that we practice, it really, I'm a machlokes tanaim about this, but the way that we have is Shitas of Yakiva, that we merge the theme of Malchios within the bracha of Kedushas Hayom, and therefore that bracha becomes much longer than it is at Ma'ariv and at Mincha, and that's where we start off the same way, like a regular Musaf, the B'chatanu, Mitnei Chata'enu. But then, at some point, we start with Aleinu, Al-Kinakave, and we start the whole sequence of Sukkim, and that we'll talk about, I guess, tomorrow, more about the specific structure of these brachas, and maybe some ha'aris and the Sukkim that are not so known. Some of them are more known than others, but I think the best hachana for Yom Neran is really to learn the Machzor and look at what you're saying before you have to open it for the first time since a year ago. So both sages would have the right inspiration when we dive in. Okay.